And welcome to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. You know, fitness, it's not something that only changes your body, but it also gives you the confidence to achieve and chase your dreams. You know, when you feel good in your skin and you're proud of who you are, anything is possible. And it all starts with knowing what you're capable of and what you can do. And that starts in the gym. And that's why I love health and fitness. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a competitive powerlifter, and I love to talk about fitness and learn more about it. Today, I will be talking to Vicky Morgan. That's Vicky with an I. Now, this lady here is somebody that you need to know because she's doing great things in the health and fitness industry. She's ACE licensed and insured. She's a Flex Senior Citizen Training certified. She has 13 years plus experience in the gym. She's a powerlifting coach. She's a female powerlifter. She competes in NASA. I believe that is the Natural Athlete Strength Association. She's been doing that for a long time. She was the powerlifter of the year. She's got tons of records. She holds national records in squat, bench press, and deadlift. She trains bodybuilding, competition prep, strength, and weight loss. So welcome to the show, Vicky. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
A very long list of accomplishments. And Vicky, did I get all of that right?
Yes, you did. I'm impressed that you know more about me than I do about myself. But actually, I also am a figure competitor. Not quite a bodybuilder. Something like that, though, with NPC. So
A figure competitor is something in between bikini and bodybuilding?
Sort of. Yes, there's physique. And there's bikini, and there's figure, and now they're throwing some more things in there as well. And so I can't keep up with it. But I'm figure, which is you have some muscle definition, more than bikini, but a little bit less than physique.
Perfect.
So, right, it's right in there. You have to wear 5-inch heels and pose, and it's not easy.
It sounds like a lot of fun. You seem very passionate about health and fitness. So when did you start all this lifting and getting into the competing?
Well, I was a competitive BMX racer in my 30s. That was the first time I actually competed in any sport, because I've always been small and just not good at it. So it started with BMX, and I realized that I was a competitive human being. And then it was just about 13 years ago, one of my friends he has some national records, American records, and national records in bench press. He just said that I should start competitive powerlifting. He said, "You can set some records." And I said, "Are you kidding? I've never lifted a weight in my life." And that began my journey. So.
All right. So you started, I hear a lot of stories of kids going to school, you know, and they start the powerlifting early in life, but you started a little bit later in your 30s or?
No, actually, I didn't start until I was 40.
Wow.
And I didn't do my first bodybuilding show until I was 50. So that just gives you an idea of how old I am, even though I don't look it. But
well, the lesson here is that lifting keeps you looking young because you look 30. And then also, you don't have to start. There's no start date. You can start lifting whenever you want.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, you can even start lifting in your 80s and 90s. They did a study with this group in a nursing home. They started having them lift weights, and they couldn't even get out of bed. And these people tripled their strength in like 3 months' time. And so I'm really passionate about the phrase, "It's never too late," because it really isn't. I'm 53 now, my brain's going, but the muscles are good.
Right.
My deadlift is almost 300 pounds, and I am 114 pounds soaking wet body weight.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's raw. That's not doing any steroids or anything like that. So, no, yeah, it's amazing how much the human body can lift, and especially lean weight. Lean people, they're not as weak as they look. If you train strength, They're really, there's an end, but it's further than you think it is.
There's a difference between somebody who looks like they can lift a lot and actually being able to lift a lot.
Correct. As a matter of fact, you'll see these huge bodybuilders and you'll think, wow, they must be super strong. And no, bodybuilders actually work out with a little bit less weight than a power lifter. So they're curling a lot of repetitions or reps, but they're curling a lot of those, whereas a power lifter might work on just one or two concentrated curls at, you know, with 100-pound weights. So
there's
different.
Completely different styles there that create a different physique. Now, did you do anything else besides BMX, any sports or anything in high school or college?
Well, I tried in college, and yeah. I failed miserably. I mean, in high school, I tried, and I failed miserably. But BMX was the first thing that I could actually do. I used to enjoy going to the gym, so my idea of working out was getting on the stair stepper machine for 20 minutes and then running a couple times around the track, and I felt like, yes, I'm in shape.
Uh-huh.
But this was a while ago. Nowadays, kids are powerlifting in high school. That just didn't happen when I was growing up. In fact, women weren't really, the girls weren't invited to lift weights at all. So we were stuck with softball, which I sucked at. And just what? Jogging track, things like that. Nothing real exciting for me.
No fair.
No.
But that's all right. You're into it now. Now, where did you grow up?
Oh, that's a loaded question, but mostly Tucson, Arizona.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place. We've got some family down there. And then when did you come to Colorado, and how do you like the springs?
I came here 4 years ago, and I like the Springs. It's a beautiful place. What I noticed first off the bat, because we were already competitive powerlifting at the time, so we joined a gym, and, you know, I'm not going to promote gyms on the air, but we joined a gym, and we just noticed how competitive everybody was. Everybody was so competitive, even in the gym itself. It just seemed like people were a lot more serious about sports here than in Tucson or pretty much anywhere we'd ever been. So that was the first thing we noticed, is that the sports environment here is way different. It's radically different. And then we tried to do cardio here, and it took a while to, lifting weights here, you can lift a lot more, but you have to build up that tolerance to the high altitude.
Yeah.
So
cardio in the high altitude from Tucson up to Colorado, yeah, the altitude will get you.
And the weather, I mean, just radically different. People here are tougher. They're way tougher because just this cold and the wind and the dry, and that's, people here drive competitively. They're nice, but boy, you know,
it's
don't get in the way.
A little friendly competition. Who's going to get to the supermarket quicker?
Exactly, exactly. And so we stepped up our game when we came to Colorado. I wasn't doing my max till I came here. So it was only 4 years ago that I began to really push myself to lift heavier.
You've settled into the Springs. Obviously, you've found some friends and some lifting buddies that's helped you push to your max.
Correct. That's right. Well, I have a training partner named Brandon Farrell. I think he's been on your show before.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we talked to him. He's doing amazing things. He's set national records and stuff. He's a strong kid.
He really is. And he's somebody to watch out for because he's done other sports as well. He was, I don't know if he told you, but he was, I think, a ballet dancer at one time.
No, and no, he didn't tell me that. But.
Yeah. Or, you know, I think it was ballet or modern dance. And then he moved into, I think, he's going to kill me if I get it wrong, but like softball or baseball.
Yeah, he did play baseball. I remember him talking about that. Yep.
See, he's embarrassed about that dancing thing, but I'll tell you what, and that was when he was way younger, but I'll tell you what, look at Baryshnikov's legs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
those
man is in
got some
shape. And so he has these legs. And they're just amazing. And he, they're just amazing. And he can't stop them from growing sometimes. And he gets real upset if they get small. But he's a lot younger than me. And it was a very unusual training partnership that we formed.
And you guys live together now. You watch him. He watches you. You have a little.
We were almost inseparable for about a year and a half as far as lifting goes. And we trained together up through his first powerlifting meet. and then we took him through that. But he's taken the ball now, and he's run with it. So we don't train much together, except for when we need that extra dose of inspiration. But he is my trainer for bodybuilding. When I can afford him, I'll hire him for a couple times a month just to kick my butt just a little bit more.
The student has become the teacher.
That is correct.
And you know what? I'd like to dive into kind of your training program and what you do now that we've got to know you a little bit. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk more about actually what you do in the gym right here with Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. Find Vicky on Facebook. That's facebook.com/VictoryFitnessTeam. And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. Again, my name is Drew Smith, and I am sitting here with Vicky Morgan. She's a personal trainer and just an inspiration. She didn't start lifting until 40s, was it, Vicky?
Correct. Powerlifting at 40.
Yeah. So how does it feel knowing that you can just pick up a couch whenever you want?
I love it. I think powerlifting saved me. I was in a really serious car accident a couple years back, and I was hit really, really hard. And I think it would have probably shattered a lot of people, but I walked out of there, and I knew it was because the muscles around my bones were protecting me because I was a power lifter. I can carry in all my groceries at once, which is really nice. And when I fall, I can actually catch myself. I save myself from injury numerous times. My reaction time is quicker, and I also feel more confident just knowing that I can kick somebody, and because I have that 225 squat, I can pretty much kick anybody I want to out of my way enough to run away.
Absolutely, yeah. So it sounds like you're obviously empowered, and it's great to know that we can just lift. And does that translate into your personal life, that confidence that you get from the gym?
I don't think it's confidence. I remain humble because I've had to work through being an older person. I have to work through a lot. I have to know when pain is pain that needs to be addressed and when pain is just achy. For instance, what's healthy pain and what isn't healthy pain. And so I'm pretty humble about the fact that I can lift. So I have a hard time promoting myself or talking about my confidence level because I guess because we all live on such a fragile line of I could be gone the next day, I could be hit by a car. I'm very in touch with my fragile side. So my confidence level has not been able to translate into my personal life as much as I'd like it to. So that is what helps me is to put my energy into helping others get strong, to helping others build their confidence, because that is more of a confidence builder for me. Seeing their change and seeing them get stronger, that's what empowers me, I think, more.
And that is the sign of a true coach and trainer, that you are out there trying to instill that in others. Now, you train at Flex Gym here in Colorado Springs.
Yay, Flex.
That's right. Give them a shout out. They're an amazing gym. They've got a friendly atmosphere, and they'll welcome you in there. But you do have to work when you get there. So what is it like training there? What do you kind of go through? You have a couple clients?
I do. Yes, I have a steady stream of clients that I love, and they have to be able to put up with the environment at Flex. Quite frankly, it's not a gym for sissies. It's not a foofy gym. You will not find a sauna there. You won't find a blow dryer. This is not a sissy gym.
Yeah.
There are a lot of big lifters, a lot of serious lifters that come in, a lot of national power lifters that come in, a lot of IFBB pros, which is bodybuilding. And It's not a place where you're going to be able to check out the chicks, although there are nice looking chicks there. You know, it's a place where you come and you live. And if you are a germaphobe, you won't like it because it's like lifting at home. There's dirt and there's chalk all over the place.
Yeah.
And people are allowed to scream and allowed to grunt, which is not allowed in some gyms. You'll hear some cuss words and stuff. So you really have to have kind of a back of steel to train there. But we have all ages. You see older people coming in, older than me, younger people coming in, all different faiths, religions, sexes, whatever. They come in. But they're there for one reason, and that is to lift seriously.
And you get in there and you do some serious lifting. What's your training like at the gym?
My personal training or how I train others?
You specifically, have you found any movements that really help develop either your squat or your bench press or your deadlift?
I think that the one thing that people ignore, including myself, is the importance of flexibility in lifting. In order to have a good squat, you have to work on your hip flexor flexibility. And so one of my favorite motions to do is the goblet squat. And that's where you take a dumbbell and you hold it up to your chest real close like a goblet.
Yeah.
And then you squat with it, and it has to be a good squat. It has to be a squat where your tailbone doesn't tuck under. We call that butt winking, and that is just not right. So you squat without the butt wink, and you hold it there, and you sit there, and your hip flexors will stretch down. And so that has been a tremendous help on my squat. And all of the stretching that the real, true, great bodybuilders do, those stretches are, I would say, invaluable to putting gains on your lifts.
That's a little tip right there. That's a little secret. Now, a goblet squat's kind of similar to a front squat where the weight's in front of you. I mean, you're holding it differently. Now, how much weight are you using for that goblet squat?
Well, it depends on how strong you are.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'll work up. My goblet squat's kind of light, but I'm just doing it for stretches. So I'll work up to like 45 pounds, 50 pounds.
And you're not doing reps. You're just holding...
I do reps.
You do reps.
I do reps for the bodybuilding part of my workout.
Got it.
But for the strength part of my workout, really what I'm looking for is that stretch.
Okay. So for that little secret, it's just you grab that 40-pound dumbbell, you go down in that squat, and you hold it. How long do you hold it for?
That's correct. It would be really cool if you could hold it there for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, you don't want to overstretch before you lift. So there is a fine line, and you have to know where that is. Because if you're doing those static stretches before you lift, then you could be minimizing your strength. So what you want to do is dynamic stretches where you're moving in the direction that you're going to be going. So you don't want to hold that goblet squat much longer than 30 seconds until the end when you're stretching.
Now, I've heard these dynamic stretches before, and it's not really stretching. It's more like working out, in my opinion. But dynamic stretching is where you kind of resemble the movements that you're going to be doing. Is that correct?
You are, and there's a reason behind that, but you wouldn't know it if you didn't know it. I don't know if that's the right word, that's the right terminology, but what you're doing when you do a dynamic stretch is you're training your brain. You're training your brain. You're telling your brain, this is what we're doing today. And what that does is it recruits the muscles that are going to be used for the day, and it prepares them. So, for instance, when you're watching baseball players, for instance, warm up, they're warming up with dynamic stretches. They're moving back and forth. They're kicking their legs. They're doing, they're swinging. They're swinging. They're getting their torso ready to do. And by doing that, you're actually preparing your brain. You're getting in the game, and you're not surprising your muscles by just throwing a bunch of weight on there. That's how you can tell a pro, somebody that knows what they're doing, from somebody that doesn't. Because somebody that doesn't wants to impress people in the gym. They'll walk right up there and they'll put a bunch of weight on there and they'll do it. But they always end up injuring themselves because they're not doing their warm-ups and they're not doing their dynamic stretches.
That's my buddy that comes out of the gym and he's like, I don't deadlift anymore because it hurt me. something like that, because you're not really prepping. There's a serious connection between the mind and the body, especially when it comes to lifting, and you really need to be aware of that.
Absolutely, and that's something that I train people when I do train them. I train them first, the brain. The brain, because that's going to tell your body that you can lift more than you think you can.
Yeah. And then it's also the thing that's going to tell you to quit first. So if you kind of get that, there's a fine line there where you know what you can lift, and then if you're just being a baby.
Exactly. And that's why people hit plateaus, because they don't know when to back off and tell their brain this is what they're going to do. They keep trying to force their muscles to do it before the brain knows what's going on.
Well, here we are already at the end of the second segment, so we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, maybe we'll connect the mind with the body a little more and talk about any other secrets you have, whether it be diet or supplements. We'll jump back into that again. I'm Drew Smith here with Vicki Morgan on 93.9 KCNJ. And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCNJ. This is the show where we break down diet, exercise routines. We talk to professionals. We talk to doctors, dietitians, nutritionists, athletes, and more. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer, and I just have a passion for learning more about health and fitness. And I invite experts like Vicki Morgan into the studio with me. Vicki, you didn't start training until you were 40, and you can do a back squat. That's where you put the bar on the back of your up on your back for 225 pounds. Is that right?
That's correct. Actually, my platform max, which is how much I've done in competition, is 237.
That's just amazing.
And that's a raw squat.
And how much do you weigh again?
I weighed 114 at the time. I probably weigh right around 114.
Over double your body weight you're squatting there, right?
It was, yeah, that's right.
Just like a couple pounds over. That is just amazing.
Yeah.
Now, last segment, we talked about the connection between the body and the mind and kind of how important that is. So how do you kind of work with that with your clients, connecting the two?
Well, I think the most important thing to do is make sure that their form is correct. So they expect that they're going to come in and that I'm going to put them through this boot camp and that I'm going to have them lift heavy right away. And some of them feel, the ones that are inexperienced, they feel like, well, if I'm not sore and if I'm not sweating to death, then you must not be a very good personal trainer. What I'm doing is I'm trying to train their brain to make the mind-body connection to do the correct form. So I'm trying to train their brain to make the mind-body connection to do the correct form. If you don't start with that foundation, you'll never be able to build on it as much as you would like to. I want to take my clients to the absolute max of their strength ability, but I need to do it safely. So I do start by having them go through the motions time and again with lighter weights, with more reps, correcting every little bit of form. We videotape. We measure their speed as they're going up and down, their rate of perceived exertion, and then we build on that. That's how we do it. We don't just throw you up there because you want to be a power lifter and start piling on the weights. We take you up slowly. We take you up steadily, like an athlete, like any professional athlete. And we expect that when we're done with you, that you're going to win a trophy because you've reached your potential.
It sounds like you have a very specific training program and you've done this before. You're building a house. What do you got to do first? You got to lay the foundation, right? So that when you build your house, it doesn't blow over because of a faulty foundation.
That's correct. And actually, that's a great analogy. It's kind of like putting framers in there that don't know the mathematics of how to put, how to measure the wood. So you got wood in, you know, just all uneven, and you have different sizes of wood, and that's exactly what it's like to go in there and train without a good foundation.
I'm imagining myself when I first started working out as this like reckless carpenter that just came in and started knocking walls down because I didn't know what I was doing. I just went in there and hack and slashed for a while, and then I got a trainer and found out better things that I could do to progress my training. Now, in the gym, you do specific lifts, but what about outside of the gym? Do you do any supplements, protein, multivitamins, probiotics. There's tons of different supplements. What do you like, if any?
Well, I think that in order for you to be, in order for anybody to be a competitive lifter or even lift weights with any seriousness, you have to up your protein intake. And that's just something that I can't go into at all right now, but you have to make sure that you're getting the right combination of branched chain amino acids that are going to help you recover and build muscle. I don't mean get bulky. I mean build healthy muscle. And so, yes, I do use a protein supplement for that, protein powder. And the protein, the whey isolate protein, uh-huh, as opposed to just regular whey protein, that is the most absorbable and the most digestible protein for that. And because a lot of times people can't handle the whey protein, so you just get whey protein isolate.
Yeah.
And that's more digestible. I couple that with, I love, this is one of my favorite supplements. It's called ZMA.
Oh, okay.
It's a zinc-magnesium combination, but it's not just zinc and magnesium. And I take it at night, and it really helps with muscle recovery. The best kind of protein to use at night for muscle recovery is actually milk protein. So a casein whey protein would be good. But you could also drink chocolate milk. Chocolate milk is very high glycemic. Sugar goes right to the muscles, and that's just natural milk protein. It's a great way to recover if you want the calories.
I'm doing that. Chocolate milk's my jam right there. I love some chocolate milk. Now, zinc and magnesium are good for a lot of other things as well.
They are.
Magnesium helps with stress and anxiety, tons of different things that you can get there. Now, branched chain amino acids, do you know what those are?
The leucine, the valine, and the I don't remember that last one. My brain is blinking out on me. It's leucine, valine, and one other.
Okay.
And but it's three. It's a combination of three that you don't normally get in your daily food diet. So that's why a protein supplement is pretty important. Because there are certain foods that you can combine together to get all 12 of those amino acids that you need. But there's some that might be missing in your diet. So you want to just make sure and get all of them. So, and I wish I could. It's
It could be isoleucine. There's just too many.
Leucine.
Of them. It's leucine. Yeah. Okay.
There you go. So, so that's why I do that, to make sure that I'm getting all of it, especially as an older person, and I don't process foods as well as I used to, and I don't eat as much as I used to. That ensures that I'm getting the right amount of protein. So a lifter should be eating about 1 to 1.5 grams of protein per pound of body weight.
And that's if you're lifting hard and heavy at that point, right? You're in the gym, you're doing a lot of work at that point.
That's correct. For the average person, it's nice to have a protein drink after you work out.
And then what's your split on days look like? How often do you go to the gym? And then how do your rest breaks fit in?
Right now, I'm all over the map because I train. So I'm trying to fit in my own training in between when I'm training people. So I really don't count. But what I recommend for people is that they do, if they're doing bodybuilding, that they do a 4 or 5 day split and allow, you really, really should allow 24 to 72 hours of recovery on a given muscle group. Because you're not going to grow unless you allow that group to heal. See, what happens when you lift a weight is it tears the muscles down. It actually is tearing your muscle fibers, micro tears. That's what you're creating. And so what happens when you rest and when you eat, especially, is that it starts to build the scar tissue, starts to build itself back up again. That's where you get the growth. So you see people lifting like really fast. They're doing really fast reps, and they are just not letting themselves recover. Those are the ones that are going to injure themselves, and they might not get the growth that they want.
Because the growth happens outside of the gym. So when I say, Vicky, how come I'm not growing? I work out every single day.
That's why. Because you need some recovery time and perhaps a little bit of a change in diet. So it could be you could not be getting enough protein. You have to make sure that you're getting the right percentages of protein, carbs, and fats for whatever your goals are. It's a science. It's amazing. It's a science.
It's a lot of fun. It's fun science, though.
It is.
There is the combination. So rest is just as important as the actual working out and finding where that fits in. Now, is muscle soreness always the best way to judge if I got a good workout?
Not necessarily. Now, there's a rule of thought. Some of the best power lifters, and I can't remember which one offhand said this, they say stimulate, don't annihilate. So what you want to go, you want to go into the gym and you want to stimulate those muscles and you want a muscle soreness of about, say, 4 to 5. But you don't annihilate.
On the tolerance level, like it's at a 4 or 5?
Correct.
On a scale of like 10?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. So you're sore about a 4 or 5, whereas you touch it, it's sore. You move, you're sore. But those that go into the gym and do leg day and then can't walk for 3 days, that's too much. That was not a good workout. That was a stupid workout. Of course, we've all had them. But again, that's somebody that's dedicated to the long term, that's dedicated to laying that foundation. Leg day will kill you for a couple of days, but yeah, by the third day, you should be fully recovered.
What was that saying again?
Stimulate, don't annihilate.
I love it. Stimulate, don't annihilate. Now we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to get more into health and fitness and lifting and supplements and diet and all that fun stuff right here with Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. Find out more about your life in powerlifting at victoryfitnessteam.com. And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ, the show where we give you tips, tricks, motivation when it comes to health and fitness. My name is Drew Smith. I am here with personal trainer and competitive power lifter, Vicky Morgan. And we were talking about those branched chain amino acids. Which ones are those again?
Leucine, valine, and isoleucine.
There we go. Now we've cleared that up. And we were talking about working out and getting ripped and working out so hard. Now, what is it important to remember when we are in the gym that there's a certain amount that we can push ourselves? When it comes to recovery, we need to understand that there can be a disconnect when it comes to somebody who's on steroids and somebody who's lifting raw. So what's good to understand there?
Well, somebody that is supplementing with steroids, they're going to recover a lot faster. Their muscles just have more tolerance for the reps and for the pain, and they do recover faster. Steroids are made for that. They're made for growth. They facilitate growth. And so if you're a raw lifter, if you're not using steroids or if you're just lifting, you're going to expect a little bit more of a recovery time. So that's it.
It's something to keep in mind, because as we are sometimes looking at other training programs or other people that we want to be like, and we hear about their program and we're like, well, he works out 2 times a day and he does 100 reps of each movement and he squats this much weight. They might be on steroids, and it's important to remember that you're competing and you're training with yourself. So my recommendation to everybody is always to just compare yourself to who you are. What do you talk to your clients about that?
I say the same thing. You're building lean muscle, so your scale, first of all, is going to lie to you. You're not necessarily going to lose weight. You're going to lose body fat, but at the same time, you're gaining muscle. So that scale may stay the same. What you need to do is take a look in the mirror or take measurements. Mm-hmm. Or measure your body fat. We do that for you. Measure your body fat and calculate it from there. And also just coming back to the steroid thing. When you see an ad in a magazine or online for a supplement, and you see some big bodybuilder guy, they're most likely on steroids. They're most likely on steroids. And so you don't want to think, well, if I buy this product and work out really hard, I'm going to look like this guy. It's an unattainable It's an unattainable thing.
Just by using that supplement. Now, you could get there if you took steroids yourself.
Correct. I like to encourage people not to and to compete raw or or drug-free. However, if that's it's my client's choice. So if they feel like they need to do steroids in order to compete on a national level, at that point, I sort of bow out. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. And I tell them to go visit their doctor and they can keep training with me. But I do know that I'll be able to push them a little bit harder if they are on steroids. Yes. And that bodybuilding split that you're talking about, the morning and night thing, you can do that even as a raw lifter. You just, yeah. So you can do a part of your legs. You can do like, squats or quads and calves in the morning and then come back and do buys and tries.
Oh, so just split up the body, upper body, lower body.
In fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the one who originally invented that because he was a trainer and he was all over the map with his training like I am right now and so many other trainers. You have to just fit in where you can. So there are times when I will do a bodybuilding split during the day. In the morning, I'll do something and then I'll come back at night and do a little something else.
And speaking of steroids, Arnold Schwarzenegger was 100% on those things, for sure.
He was.
Regardless of whether you're on them or not, in order to get a physique like that, you've got to work really hard.
You do. And there are people that do it naturally, and it is very hard work.
And here's another thing to remember is that you're competing raw without steroids. When you start taking those, you're just competing against other people who are doing steroids. So it's basically, who do you want to compete with, really? I mean, it's...
It becomes an issue of who can get the best drugs.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, in the powerlifting world, the Russians, I believe, and get the best drugs. And the Chinese start training their people when they're very young. So it's hard to compete against certain countries when we're just, USA working for a living type thing.
Yeah.
But what I try to do is get people in it for the long haul. I want to share the joy of lifting, not necessarily make it a torture for them. And I want them to be able to, a year or two later, be able to look at their bodies and measure their strength. And if they want to, help them with competition and just help them feel like, yeah, I'm actually accomplishing something. I'm bringing home trophies. I'm losing weight. I'm gaining muscle mass at age 60 that I never thought I could do before. It's a joyful journey, and so if you're going to risk your life, risk your health by pushing the limits, that's okay. I'm not going to judge you, but my job is to make sure you're healthy through the long haul of your sport.
Weightlifting, I could argue that it becomes more and more important the older you get. Because you're starting to lose muscle mass, and you want to balance that out by building it back.
Correct. In fact, for people that have osteopenia or osteoporosis, they recommend weightlifting, and I'll tell you why. Because it's something called Wolf's Law, and it's basically when you apply micro trauma to your bones by doing things like weightlifting and jogging, anything that produces trauma to your bones actually get a signal from your brain that says, hey, I'm being used in a stronger manner. I have to rise to the challenge, so I'm going to build bone density. So for women especially that are have osteoporosis in their family or feel like they're losing their bone density, start weight training now. This is the time to do it. Get strong. It's not bad for you. Arthritis, different subject. But for people that are looking for looking for bone density, osteopenia, osteoporosis, most doctors will recommend some amount of weight training.
And not to mention just the benefits of life that strength happens to improve just moving or doing anything.
Exactly. If you want to lose weight, start building muscle because muscle burns calories 5 times faster or so than fat. It takes a lot of energy to be able to maintain that muscle, to take care of it. It's a high maintenance critter.
Yeah.
So when you start building muscle, you're going to start burning more calories.
And once you get to a certain point and you're like happy with where you are, it's really easy to maintain that.
It is because you've developed a habit. Yeah. There's the big word. The habit is what we're after. We want a healthy habit, a good relationship with health and fitness, not an obsession. You don't want to be obsessed because that's not a healthy relationship. You don't have obsessive relationships with people. You want a healthy relationship with food and with fitness. You want to go in there, visit nicely every day, feel like you got something done, eat healthy. It's a relationship.
Now, if somebody is looking to build a relationship with fitness, can they get in touch with you? Are you taking clients? And if so, how do people get in touch with you?
I am almost booked up, but I just can't turn anybody away at the same time. So I always find time to squeeze people in, but I am almost full. You can reach me at victoryfitnessteam.com. That's victoryfitnessteam.com. Or you can call me at 719-237-9020. And I'll talk to you. I'll meet with you, see if we're a good fit. There is no perfect personal trainer for everyone. And so go ahead and let's meet and see if we make a good match, and then let's go.
And I'm going to make this easy for you as well. You can go to under10fitness.com/Vicki. That's V-I-C-K-I. And I'll have all of the links and fun stuff to that if you missed anything. Now, Vicki, thank you so much for joining me. And just on an aside as we end here, what's a little thought you keep in your mind that helps keep you motivated and continues you on your path?
I think it has to do with honoring the body that I was given. And I just happen to be a Christian, so I believe that my body was designed by God. It doesn't have to be your belief. But the body that you've been given, this wonderful, unique DNA body that you've been given, with a unique strand of DNA, I feel like I'm honoring it every day by training it. I'm pushing my limits because I don't feel like I don't really feel like I have a choice almost. I feel like my body is vital. It's how I help people. It's how I am there for my husband. It's how I'm able to meet with you. There are some people that can't walk into a studio because they can't walk. They're too heavy. Mm-hmm. There are people that have hurt themselves so badly and have been hurt so badly that they're injured. We take these things for granted, but I do not. I feel like I'm fragile, like I could die in any second. And so my heart, if you're asking for my heart, it goes out to those people that are so heavy they can't, if they fall, they can't get up. I want to help them because they have this unique body that they've been given or born with. And I just want to help them be the best that it can be. You know, you think about putting donuts or crap into your body, you know, first thing in the morning. Imagine what your body is saying. Your body's saying, how can I use this? How can I use this, Drew? How can I use this donut that you've given me? I need something that I can use to make you better. And there's a whole side of this that we didn't talk about. It's very near and dear to my heart. And that is just empowering people to respect what they've been given, to be able to feel good about it, rise above anything that may have happened to them as a child that keeps them from being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an emotional thing. It's simply your body. It's a DNA, beautiful creation or just a something that has been given to you that only you have. So take care of it. Take care of it.
It's a good lesson. It's honor your body. I like that. I'm going to remember that and take that with me. If I can, I'm going to steal that a little bit. It's the one body that you have, and here we are at Under 10 Fitness. We talk about how we can take care of that one body so that we just get the most out of this life that we have that is very short, and that's all the time that we have. Again, this is Under 10 Fitness. If you want to find anything from this episode, you can go to under10fitness.com/Vicki. I'm Drew Smith. We'll see you later here on 93.9 KCMJ. And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. Now, I like to finish up the show here talking to a nonprofit or community organization, because if we don't have our basic needs, food, shelter, love, and happiness, how are we ever going to be able to focus on our body? So again, my name is Drew Smith, and I am here with Joyce of Finding Our Voices. You can find them at findingourvoicescs.org. Joyce is referred to as the founder, but Joyce, how would you describe your involvement in the organization?
I'm a peer, and I am a survivor and a peer of other survivors of sexual violence, and that's what this organization exists for.
So you help people through the recovery process because they need help afterwards.
Right. Our mission is to empower survivors of sexual violence and to advocate in the community for the prevention.
And you specialize in adults 18 years and older?
Yes.
And what kind of things do you guys do to kind of help the recovery process? And let's explore that.
Well, we started out doing art because for me, art was crucial to my recovery from the devastation that you feel when you have been violated so intimately. And because I thought art was so important, I originally wrote the nonprofit saying that we would do annual art shows. And we've grown since then. In addition to doing annual art shows, we do monthly art workshops. And we do weekly support groups. And we do an annual weekend retreat with adult women.
Do you work with a lot of other organizations in the Springs area?
We really like to collaborate and network. We send people to the Independence Center when they need help, that kind of help. We send women to Women's Resource Agency. We interact with TESA because domestic violence and sexual violence are very much intertwined. We participate in DBSA's mental health fair and send people to Aspen Point, work back and forth with NAMI. There are a lot of wonderful organizations in this community, and the really great thing is that they all work together.
Very fluid and interconnected here. So tell me about the art and what the ladies are showing over there.
Well, when we have our annual art show, we don't just have visual art. We have paintings, photography, collage, drawings, sketches, but we also have performance, and it's really fun to have original videographers, lots of original poetry, some singing, some dancing, in addition to the visual art. So it's an afternoon from 1 to 5, and we really share survivors' creative ways that they have gone about healing from the trauma.
A lot of times I imagine there's a lot of post-traumatic stress that comes with that PTSD.
Indeed. And, you know, we are indebted to the Vietnam War and the military for getting this into the DSM so that PTSD is recognized as a mental illness and a treatable illness, but something that can have profound influence on the individual.
And have you seen that victims of a sexual assault and the people that you're working with, that really this does help being able to express yourself in an artistic way?
It is totally amazing, Drew. I am so fascinated with it myself because I repressed my memories for a lot of decades. I was a victim of family trafficking and abuse from all family members and didn't know it for a lot of years. And when the memories started coming back, I found that I could paint things that were not in my conscious awareness. And then later flashbacks, and in therapy, I could explain the paintings that I didn't know what I was painting.
Wow. So really helping you get those deeper feelings out.
It really does. We have had participants who knew how to interpret with their hands. What's that called?
Sign language?
Sign language. We've had people who could speak of their trauma in sign language before they could speak the words. It's very interesting, but we now know from brain research that those traumatic memories are stored in a different place in the brain, and it takes usually some kind of event, something pretty substantial to stimulate the access codes so that we can find them.
Yeah, the brain is a very complicated organ, and you're helping people express those deeper thoughts and feelings. Now, you've got a bunch of different workshops that people can get involved with. What's the next workshop you have coming up, and who would that be good for?
The next workshop we have coming up is on the second Saturday of the month of February, which is the 9th, and we meet from noon until 3 at Cottonwood Center for the Arts, 427 East Colorado. And this time, we're going to be doing masks. And as you can well imagine, people who have experienced trauma feel like they're wearing a mask lots of times. So we think this will be a really exciting one. The January workshop, we actually talked about grounding and self-nurturing, and we made bath salts. So we do a lot of different things besides just painting.
And how do you have to sign up for it? Is there an application process? How do you go about that?
All of our services are for adult victims of sexual violence, and we offer them on a donation basis. We don't turn anybody away. So you would find out about it by going to our website or our Facebook page or calling and getting on our email blast.
All right. And you both males and females, because sexual assault affects everybody, or do you just do women or men?
Well, of course, we have a lot more women than we do men because it hasn't been safe for men to come out. And I can tell you why that is. Unfortunately, there is a myth out there that a man who was victimized as a child will become an offender. That does happen, but on a very small percentage. And so that's one of the things that has made it difficult for men to come forward and say that they were abused, sexually violated. We do have a men's support group that meets on Tuesday mornings, and we have a women's support group that meets on Tuesday evenings. And those are weekly sessions facilitated by peers. So it's kind of like the AA groups in that as peers, we support each other in daily living and in coping with our triggers.
Got it. You build your community of support within.
Yes.
Kind of set up there. And then, are there volunteer opportunities? I understand you might be looking for some board members.
Indeed, we are. We have six board members now, but we would like to have two or three more. That would involve once a month meeting and some volunteer hours in helping with our projects, of course, in addition to that.
And again, I am here talking with Joyce of Finding Our Voices, who specializes in long-term recovery for victims of sexual assault. Now, you do some art yourself. Have you created some works that you like?
I do. I have about 30 paintings that I did when I was in crisis, and I've had some solo shows. I'm going to have a solo show at the Air Force Academy in August of 2016, and I have presented what I call aftershocks with my paintings to more than 2,000 people in this community. And it's not important that people see my paintings, but what they do is they illustrate a lot of the challenges that survivors of this trauma experience.
Well, thank you so much. And then how do people get a hold of you? And of course, is all this stuff going to be on your website as well?
All of it will be on our website. And also they can email us at fovartshow@gmail.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Joyce. Again, you can find them at findingourvoicescs.org. Well, Joyce, thank you very much for coming in and joining me today at Under 10 Fitness. My name is Drew Smith. This is Under 10 Fitness, and we'll see you later here on 93.9 KCMJ. And remember, if you missed anything from today's episode, you can go to under10fitness.com/Vicki, V-I-C-K-I. There you can find out how to get in touch with Vicki for some one-on-one personal training. Also, Under 10 Fitness is offering you, the dedicated podcast listener, a free membership for an entire month. Just use promo code UTF, and that will get you access to entire monthly workout videos all for free. Try it out for a month, and then after that, it's less than $10 a month, where 20% goes to a nonprofit organization that's getting your body in shape and your community in shape at the same time. Check it out at under10fitness.com.